This is Harriet Kamek, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, I want to talk with you about this. Why are we playing? That's right. Why are all of us playing when the work of the Lord needs to be done? Well, what is the work of the Lord? Well, I'm going to show you from Isaiah chapter 5 exactly what the work of the Lord is and what do I mean when I say that we are all playing. You know, it's like the kids say nowadays, they use the word playing, not implying that we are children on a playground, but that when we are supposed to be serious, we're actually doing something else. So that's what I want to talk with us about. But first, before I get into that, I want to tell you a little bit about myself. If this is your first time hearing us on this broadcast, or if this is your first time viewing us, I want to tell you thank you so much for taking the time out to tune in. And also, I want to tell you thank you for being a supporter of Down to Earth podcast. Amen? Amen. You can find our podcast on many major platforms around the world, wherever you are. And you can find the viewing of our programming on select TV stations around the country. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, on Twitter. You can find our pages wherever you are in the world. Amen. Amen. I'm also an author and speaker. So for more information about us and what we do here at the Exodus Foundation, feel free to go to our website, theexodusfoundation.com. Thank you so much, everyone. And while we're doing that, I just want to say a quick prayer that we're going to pray a little bit for those of us in the world who are experiencing displacement. Just recently, there was an earthquake in Nepal, and hundreds of people have been displaced or have lost their lives. So we just want to pray for those who have survived and for those who have lost loved ones wherever these unfortunate catastrophic events happen. We also want to pray for those who are losing their lives and who continue to be in war zones and seem to be at the mercy of warlords. We're going to pray for you as well in just a few moments. But first, turn with me in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, you can download the Bible app to your iPad just like I do. Amen. Download it to any tablet that you have. And we're going to read this morning from Isaiah chapter 5. Verses 11 to 17. This is an interesting scripture because it starts out by praising the vineyard and saying, woe to my beloved, and saying, my beloved is this, and it was exalting that. It starts out by giving God thanks for how he has brought the people out and how he brought them through out of Egypt, out of slavery and enslavement, and brought them through the Red Sea. And here we are in Isaiah chapter 5. So turn with me there. We're going to pick it up from verses 11 to 17. And as usual, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Holy Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 5. And this is what it says. It says, woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them. Verse 12, the harp and the strings, the tambourine and flute and wine are in their feasts, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, many people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, Sheol, hell, has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. The glory, their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. Listen to this. People shall be brought down. Each man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness. And in verse 17, it ends with this. Then the lambs shall feed in their pasture, and in the waste places of the fat ones, strangers shall eat. But I want us to concentrate on verse 14, where it says, therefore, Sheol, another word for hell, has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Father, in the name of Jesus, Let me decrease so that you might increase. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart find acceptance in your sight. I pray for somebody today who needs you, who needs guidance, somebody who needs release from the captivity and of the addiction of drugs, of the addiction of alcoholism, of the addiction of stuff that hurts us and separates us from you. Oh God, we ask you today to be a diviner of the people, to release us, oh God, from the various efforts and the various things that we have laid ourselves captive. We pray for leaders today, Jesus, leaders of the church who should be at the forefront, castigating the people, warning the people, praying over the people, warning the people, and showing the people the way forward, showing the people the way out. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we command right now that hell will no longer enlarge itself. That hell will not enlarge itself and the graveyards won't overflow against the people. I pray for somebody right now watching, oh God, who is contemplating this morning that they have to go in for surgery this week and what that means. Somebody who is contemplating that they may not have a house tomorrow, that they may lose their mortgage because of a job loss, because the companies have sold out and they have moved on and left people behind. People who worked 20 years and 30 years for one company, gave their all to the company, and whoops, just like that, they take up and out of town and leave emptiness and barrenness and now leave people. Jesus, I pray now that you move alcohol and liquor out of ourselves. Move it away from someone right now who has turned to liquor in order to numb the pain of divorce and loss and job loss and loss of self. In the name of Jesus, oh God, I beg you to come down now. Be God among us. Be God over us. We import you, Jesus. I implead on you, Jesus. And I beg you, Lord God, for forgiveness on behalf of the leaders of the church. I beg you, oh God, to come now and heal the children who are sick, riddled with cancers in hospital rooms, the most disheartening thing we could see. Jesus, stop bullets from ricocheting in our classrooms, in our boardrooms, in our workspaces. Oh God, stop the bullets from raining down in Gaza right now in the name of Jesus, in the Sudan, in Yemen, and in all parts of the world where there is violence. Lord God Almighty, send your angels now, oh God. Let your angels enlarge the earth. And we thank you right now, oh God, that you hear our prayer. As you make a way where there is no way, as you open up the rivers of heaven and pour down blessings upon your people, as you make a way, O God, for us to walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, O God, as you make a way to lift us up, O God, we thank you this morning and we bless your holy name. We humble ourselves before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hell hath enlarged itself. Imagine that. You know, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I heard this phrase before. I never in my wildest imaginings imagined that it was actually a verse in the Bible. I have heard my grandparents say this when their crops were in the fields and there was a drought. I have a memory, a recollection, and my grandparents have gone on to be with the Lord. I may have to ask my aunts what happened, but I have a memory as a child of my grandparents losing a whole harvest of corn and that it dried up and they did not know what to do. I have heard them say, hell hath enlarged itself. Sufficient unto me now in this day and time to realize that this is true. I look around me, and like most of us, we're all on social media. We all have some sort of social media presence. We used to think that social media was a way for us to connect, yeah? To connect with people we went to high school with, to connect with people whom we probably haven't seen in a while, or if we live across the country, in a different state, it was a way of connection. Nowadays, we're seeing where social media is allowing us to view each other's lives. And in the last few years, what we have seen is like people are marching on out of here. There have been so many deaths of people just dying. I mean, we know people have been sick, yeah, but not like this. Young people, people in their 30s, people in their 20s. That's when we started to look, because we can't say it's COVID now. We can't say it's just cancers that is killing people. And we bind cancer and take authority over it in the name of Jesus. But people are leaving out of here. Hell hath enlarged itself. The graveyards are full and overflowing. The funeral directors are making a bag of money. They can't seem to make enough. I know someone who told me years ago that people are just dying to get in to a funeral home. He meant it as a joke, but now in real time, we're seeing that it's not just that. Hell hath enlarged itself. Look what the scripture says right here. It says right here, look at verse 11. What did it say? Let me read it back to you again. It says, woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night. Some of us have habits where we start drinking from early in the morning. And we drink all day and all night until the Bible says wine inflames them. That means alcohol is roiling in your blood. Then it also says, what about those who listen to the harp and the strings? That's music. So you go from one party to the other, to the other. And life is a one nonstop party. And somebody calls you on the phone and they say, hey, what you doing, man? Come on, hang out over here with us. And you go over there and there's more drinking and smoking and partying. Somebody else used to go home and you say, well, I just need to take a break. Somebody else calls you. There's another drinking and smoking until you are inflamed. And now you become captive to the very things that constant partying does. The constant drinking gives you cirrhosis of the liver. The constant drugs, you become addicted, then you can't work, then you have no money. And because you can't work and you can't drink, you drink so much, you can't work, you've lost everything. Then your family, get this, your family wants to have nothing to do with you because you're now a drunk. Right? You're now a drug addict. So they want to have nothing to do with you. Do you see? So now you've become captive. And there is no knowledge. Nobody is telling you that this shouldn't happen. Well, I am sorry to burst your bubble, but we need to stop that. Because hell is enlarging itself. Because where the drunk is driving out and is killing people in a drunken motor vehicle accident, innocent people. The people become so inflamed with drugs and they're taken over by drugs that they start saying they hear voices. So they go now, and what do? They go now and they start what? Shooting people. We just saw that happen in Maine. They hear voices. Every mass shooter always says what? What do they say? I heard voices that tell me. Where do those voices come from? That's from all the drugs they're taking. So they've lost their what? Their natural born minds, and their minds are taken over by the drugs giving them instructions. Hell now has enlarged itself. The graveyards are overflowing with people who left too early, people who shouldn't have died. And God is allowing it to happen so that we who are remain, let me see what you're going to do. God is saying, what are you going to do about it? What's you going to do about it? Yeah, because the preacher isn't telling us what not to do. This preacher is. But the others, they're not telling you not to drink because it's not politically correct nowadays to tell people not to do the things that are harmful. People are going and watching. The other day I was watching a show on plastic surgery. Now, the most of us who are in the public eye, every now and then you have to go make some, adjustments because people make fun of you when you don't look good. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. So you kind of don't have a choice but to go improve yourself. But the thing is, when you improve yourself, for some reason, that doesn't look obvious. It just looks appealing. It just looks fresh. And as my daughters, they like to use these words, fresh. These young folks today, I tell you, that's another story for another day. But what about when plastic surgery becomes out of control? When you're trying to make yourself to look like someone else? when you're trying to convert yourself, you were born one way, but you're going to convert yourself to look another, then it becomes harmful because you're twisting your body's natural biology and you're twisting your mind. So how do you live with yourself? That tells me you are not happy with yourself and you can't live with yourself. But we have to talk to you about you because you only have this one body. But you keep putting more plastic surgery on to look like someone that you were not born and your body doesn't have the capacity to look like. It's like me, you know, I really want to look like, you know, like I wear like a size 2. It's not possible. So what am I going to do? Go do some plastic surgery to do things that might be harmful? I'll just kind of just wait until the natural processes really kick in and all the exercises and so on kick in. I kid you not. I've given up on that. And I recognize that there is in each of us a desire to improve ourselves and to be better than our circumstances dictate. I recognize that in each of us lies the desire to be greater than. We want to compare ourselves to someone who is doing great things. We see people on TV and we want to be like them. We want to be an actor or a star. We want to be a star. But do you really want to pay the price to do that? So you look at somebody else's life and then you say, I want to be like them. So you're going to go do plastic surgery to look like them. But you're twisting your body to look like someone you were not born to look like. You drink and you turn your body's biology upside down. It's almost like when you drink and you take drugs, you're rewiring your body's natural ability. Nothing wrong with taking a brandy every now and then, a glass of wine. Nothing is wrong with that. It's part of life to imbibe and to sit down with friends and participate, but not to the destruction that destroys us. Do you see what I mean? Hell hath enlarged itself. If we don't talk about it, if we don't tell you that drinking is bad, then you're going to go out and keep drinking. And one day you get in your car and drive and you kill someone. If I don't tell you that taking drugs is bad, one day you're going to be so out of your mind, you think you hear voices that tell you to go pick up a gun and go shoot the people who hurt you. One day you will take so much drugs that one day it tells you this life isn't worth living. And you don't have the natural ability to say, hold on, back up. Let's live for another day and try to see if we can redress that. One day you will just listen to a voice that says, why don't you just end it now? That is what is causing hell to enlarge itself. And now we have to look at where did this come from? Because where are the preachers? Why aren't they saying something about it? Why aren't they doing something about it? Well, they're busy partying. They're busy being part of the set that gets up in the morning and go from one party to the other. They themselves are not listening, and so hell is enlarging itself. These are the leaders of the church. They're not doing the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? Now, let's put this into context, yeah? I don't sit here in the seat of a politician. The politician administers public policy. That's a different realm. I sit here in the work of the Lord. So the work of the Lord is to give you context of good and evil in the context of what is good for you, what is not good for you. We can agree on that, right? Well, that's the work that the preachers are supposed to do. They're supposed to tell us what is good and what is wrong. It's not good for you, then here is why it's not good for you. And you then, it's up to you now to determine whether you're going to listen or not. Nobody is holding a big stick over your head and telling you you must do this. But by providing you with the options, then you are best informed to make a decision. Do you see what I mean? Public policy is different. Politicians are different. The CEOs are different. They have different realms. So they have to administrate as they see fit based on the environment that they're in. The work of the Lord is done by the people who say they're preachers and shepherds and the people who say they lead churches. They're the ones who are called to say, we need to stop this right here. We can't have people just walking around, just smoking and drinking. and doing stuff and staying out late at night. Can I just be honest? After a while, it's going to break down the relationships around you that you care about. And then you're going to be isolated. And pretty soon, you really are hearing voices. And those voices now are now going to tell you to go do something that results either in your death or in the death of others. You're driving down the street. Somebody goes into a bar. There are laws now where bartenders can be held accountable. Yes, but it's up to you, the individual, to know that you cannot drink to the extent where you can't see. And then you insist on getting behind the wheel of a car and drive down the lodge. And before you know it, everybody's piled up. You can't take drugs to the extent where you're so intoxicated with it that you don't know what is going on. This is why hell is enlarging itself. But you know where hell is really enlarging itself? It's where people don't know the difference between right and wrong. Where they don't know that too much is too much. Where is it too much? Where do I cut off at? You know where this starts? It starts in the home. It starts when little Johnny and little Ashley are born. And they're 1 year old and they're 2 years old. And we, the parents, are supposed to take them around the house and show them everything is wrong. So, like most parents, we used to do this thing, yeah? When they're born and they're little, before they start crawling, I would take them around to the plugs and put their hands on it and say, if you touch it, mommy's going to spank you. Don't do it. It hurts. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then you would show them knives. You go in the kitchen and you tell them, don't touch this, don't touch that. The thing was, the one thing I never told both my daughters was about not flushing the toilet. So they had a thing where they would, I kid you not, they would reel the toilet paper. Once I caught my oldest daughter, she reeled all the toilet paper and stuffed it into the toilet. And when she heard me coming, she just kept stuffing it and stuffing it and stuffing it. And I said, wow, that's the one thing I never told her. Do you see what happened? Hell enlarged itself on her that day because I was furious. This is the reality of time. We need to start going back to basics and start telling our children from early, don't grow up to drink. I am a parent. I raised two daughters. They're 10 years apart. The way I raised one is not the way I raised the youngest. The youngest is Gen Z. I had no control over her because by the time she was growing, she had Instagram. Yeah. She had the internet in her hands. She had all the tools and the power of information in her hand. So whatever I told her was disputable by her community of fellow Gen Zers. So in my household, I'm trying to pull in the reins and hold her accountable. But there were other parents who were not doing the same thing. So their children were informing her on what to do. It created a mountain of problems. You are having the same issue. Here is what I say to you as a parent. Do not give up. Continue to tell your child right from wrong. Tell them, even if they don't do it right now, do not stop. At some point, your words are going to catch up with them. And one day, just before, they're going to hear your voice in their head and they're going to stop doing what they're doing. How do I know? She came back and told me. Had it not been for the way you raised me, had it not been for what you told me, things would have happened. Did it turn the gray hairs back to black? No, but it saved her life. This is what I'm saying to you today. My friend, look at me. Look right here. I'm coming to you as a person. I'm coming to you as your friend, as your sister, your aunt. I'm coming to you as a human being. Put that liquor down. You don't need it. Life is hard. You best believe I have suffered through some of the hardest times financially that my natural born mind could never endure. I have had to learn to walk it out and walk by faith. God became palpable and tangible to me. I had to tell myself it's either I'm going to believe God that he will deliver me or I'm not going to believe in nothing at all and end it all right now. I had to learn to pick up the Bible and read it and comfort myself and tell myself, give yourself time. It will work itself out. There's some of the things that we get involved in, some things that happen to us. It's like a rope. It's like a wheel. You're just in this wheel going round and round and round and can't get out of it. It takes time and through a process of time, by prevailing, by reading and encouraging yourself, read the Word of God, read it, understand it, listen to other people, get a variety of voices who are preaching the Word of God, and read it for yourself until illumination comes, and gradually it loosens. It takes time, but that time you invest in yourself is worth it. The second thing you do is you look around you. How can I improve myself? Do I need to go get another course? Even if you have a PhD, do I need to go get another course? Do I need to join a new group of people whom I can learn something from? Go volunteer somewhere. Do something. Why? Because these things keep your mind engaged. When the temptation comes to isolate and to just go take a drink, do not take the drink and go down in the basement. Do not take that bottle and go in your bedroom. I have heard of people who tell me that they're in depression and that they drink at nights after the cameras are off and people there by themselves. Don't do that. Pick up the Word of God and read it. Pick up a podcast. That's why we have media today. Pick up a podcast and listen to words that are encouraging. Read words of life. Speak positive things over yourself. Don't give in. Don't give in and let hell enlarge itself upon you. Put down the blunt. It always starts with somebody smoking weed and thinking it's okay. Put it down. You don't need it to cope. Because eventually it becomes your go-to. And then what happens? Your tolerance level what? Decreases, and you need more and more. So you gravitate and graduate to a bigger drug. Before you know it, you have Molly and all that kind of stuff that they use. And before you know it, it's out of control. Some of you said, well, Harriet, there's no other way to make money. So I cook up stuff in my trailer and I mix up stuff. Don't do it. It's better to go down to the Piggly Wiggly and start there at $8.50 an hour, because that's faith. And you walk and extricate yourself. Somebody says, but I went and had surgery and they gave me painkillers and that's what caused it. Put down the painkillers, flush them, crush them, sprinkle them, plant them out in your yard if you have to, but do not take them. Don't let hell enlarge itself upon you. And in these last few moments, I'm just going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, break the yoke of connection that has come over the people. Break that yoke in Jesus' name. I command every addictive spirit to be bound up now and to release from off of the people. And I pray that you will have a supernatural, overnight, expeditious deliverance out of everything that binds you. In Jesus' mighty name, be blessed.